Volume 3, Number 1 of the For the Strength of Youth magazines for January 2023.
Tijon Irina, R, age 17, from Madagascar. My name is Tijon Irina from Antananarivo, Madagascar. I love listening to relaxing music, reading books, and playing basketball and soccer. When I was 8, I chose to be baptized. As I was immersed in the water, I felt a special happiness that came from the Spirit. Shortly after my baptism, my mother passed away. I felt sad, depressed, and frustrated. No child should have to know how it feels to lose a mother. However, 3 years later, we went to the temple and were sealed as a family. The special feeling of the Spirit came that day, and I felt that my mother was there by my side in the temple. I have faith that I will see her again someday. I strive to always remember what I felt at the temple. I keep the Spirit with me by reading the scriptures and studying about the blessings of the temple. When worldly messages try to confuse me, I study the scriptures and trust in the words of prophets. They encourage me and strengthen my faith. Share your story and read stories from other youth at the Strive to Be Instagram. Read by Enzo Patello.
Contents. Four ways Jesus Christ strengthens you. Follow the True Light by President M. Russell Ballard. Moving Toward Brighter Days. More Like Christ. Faith in Darkness by Jan E. Newman. Our Promise to Be a Light. The Ultimate Miracle. Being a Peacemaker, Your New Superpower. Gospel Gifts in Guam. Also inside, My Favorite, Firm Foundations, Fun Stop, Questions and Answers, Places from the Scriptures, and 2023 Youth Theme Poster. Read by Wes Nelson.
Four Ways Jesus Christ Strengthens You by the Young Women and Young Men General Presidencies. Throughout the world, Christians rejoice in this scripture. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4, verse 13. When people hear this, some of them may think it means they can pass any test, win any game, and have every wish come true. But that's not what this scripture teaches. It was written by the Apostle Paul while he was in prison. As a prisoner, there was a lot that Paul could not do. But he knew that Jesus Christ could strengthen him to do what matters most. The same is true for you. 1. Christ strengthens you to know. Jesus Christ has given you several important ways you can come to know what is true. He has taught us all to pray always. See 3 Nephi 18, verse 18. And ask to know what is true. See Moroni 10, verses 4 and 5. You can also find and know what is true through your study of the Scriptures. Prayer and scripture study bring the Spirit into your life. The Spirit may speak to your mind and your heart, Doctrine and Covenants 8, 2, fill your soul with joy and enlighten your mind, Doctrine and Covenants 11, verse 13. In these ways, you can hear Him, hear the Savior's words, and follow what He has said. President Russell M. Nelson has taught that this is the pattern for success, happiness, and joy in this life. 2. Christ strengthens you to do. Strength comes to you as you strive to keep the commandments and make good choices that lead to peace and happiness. Jesus Christ strengthens you to do this even when those choices are hard to make. Sometimes you may make a bad choice. Thankfully, the Savior's atonement makes repentance possible. Because of Jesus Christ, you can become clean and find joy. He can strengthen you to do better and be better each day. 3. Christ strengthens you to overcome. While in prison, Paul wrote, "I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound." Everywhere and in all things I am instructed. Philippians 4, verses 11 and 12. In other words, Paul learned that through Christ, he can overcome and learn from his trials and challenges. Jesus Christ can strengthen you to do the same. The Savior suffered pains and afflictions and temptations of every kind. He took upon himself our infirmities so that he may know how to succor, which means to help, his people according to their infirmities. Alma 7, 11 and 12. No matter what you face, Jesus Christ can strengthen you to endure and accomplish things you would not be able to do on your own. 4. Christ strengthens you to become. Jesus Christ has made resurrection a reality for all of us, and he makes eternal life possible for those who repent, receive essential ordinances, and make and keep covenants associated with them. Without Christ, we could not fulfill what Heavenly Father wants most, for us to become more like him and his Son, Jesus Christ, and to dwell with them eternally. You can become more like Jesus Christ as you learn of him, rely on and trust in him, and follow his example. This will lead you to live with more faith, hope, charity, patience, humility, purity, and obedience. These are all attributes of the Savior. As you strive to follow Jesus Christ, he will be your hope and your light that will guide you to become all that he knows you can become. And with Paul, you will be able to say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. End of the article, Four Ways Jesus Christ Strengthens You, read by Scott Christopher.
Follow the True Light, a message from President M. Russell Ballard, acting president of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. The light of Jesus Christ is always there for you, yesterday, today, and forever. As the sun set on another Sunday in 1948, I found myself walking by the Trent River in Nottingham, England. I was a 20-year-old missionary at the time. It had been a long, exhausting day, but I was happy and satisfied in the work. As I walked along the river, I said a prayer in my heart. Hoping to feel some guidance from the Lord, I asked, Am I doing what you want? An overwhelming feeling of peace and understanding suddenly came over me. At that precise moment, I came to know that Jesus Christ knew me and loved me. I didn't see a vision or hear a voice, but I could not have known of Christ's reality and divinity any more powerfully had he stood before me and called out my name. From that day to today, every significant decision I have made has been influenced by my knowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I love him more deeply and powerfully than words can express. He is my Lord, my Savior, my Redeemer, and my friend. Over the years and throughout most of the world, I have testified of the Savior. I know he is the true and everlasting light that shineth in darkness. John chapter 1, verse 5. It is a privilege for us to come unto him, to follow him, and to fill his light in our lives. The truth about light. Every 24 hours, day turns to night, and night turns to day. When we experience the darkness of night, we do not worry that the sun is gone. We know that the earth will rotate, and the sun will shine on us again. We may not always be able to see or feel the light, but it is always there. The same is true spiritually. I was reminded of this many years ago when my wife, Barbara, and I gazed up in awe at the night sky. The millions of stars we saw seemed exceptionally bright and beautiful. My thoughts then turned with wonder to Jesus Christ. He was in the beginning with God. John chapter 1, verse 2. Under the direction of Heavenly Father, he created the earth and worlds without number. See Moses 1, verse 33. He is the power that lights the sun, the moon, and the stars. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 88, verses 7 through 8. He is the source of the light and life of all things. See John chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, and Doctrine and Covenants, section 93, verse 10. He declared, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John chapter 8, verse 12. In our day, Satan is working overtime to shut out the Savior's light, but you can never be in a place so dark that the light of Jesus Christ cannot shine for you if you will come unto him. His light is always there. He lights our way. As the Son of God, Jesus Christ had glory with God the Father before the world was. John chapter 17, verse 5. He was perfectly obedient to his Father. See John chapter 5, verse 30. And willingly came to earth. He gave up his glory to be born in a humble stable where his mother wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. During his youth, he went about his Father's business. Luke chapter 2, verse 49, and amazed those who heard his teachings. In his ministry, he had power to perform miracles, to bless and heal the sick, to bring the dead to life, and to ultimately provide the infinite atonement. In everything the Savior has said and done, especially in his atoning sacrifice, he has shown us the way to our Father in heaven. His example and teachings light the path we must follow to return to our heavenly home. Share his light. Once we feel the light of the Son of God in our lives, we should strive to share that light with others. I loved being a missionary in England. I loved being a mission president in Canada. And I love my calling as a member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, which allows me to testify of Jesus Christ throughout the world. The Savior taught, "Behold, I am the light which ye shall hold up, that which ye have seen me do." 3 Nephi chapter 18, verse 24. The Savior's light shines within us every time we pray and seek his word in the Scriptures. His light shines when we love as he loves, share our testimonies, and give selfless service. This casts darkness out of our lives and attracts others who are seeking his light. His light endures forever. The light of Jesus Christ is always there for you. Nothing, absolutely nothing, can ever overpower or extinguish his light. It will endure forever. Jesus Christ is the light and the life of the world, a light that is endless, that can never be darkened. Mosiah chapter 16, verse 9. I am eternally thankful for the experience I had as a young missionary when I came to know this for myself. I know this more surely today as I've experienced life with all of its trials and joys. If you don't know where to go or what to do, look to the true light of the Son of God. If you are willing to come unto him and follow his light, he will light your way. Get to know President Ballard. Met his wife Barbara Bowen at the University of Utah Hello Day dance. Worked for his father's car dealership in the early 1950s and was the top salesperson. Has 7 children, 43 grandchildren, 91 great-grandchildren. Served as mission president in the Canada-Toronto mission from 1974 to 1977. Read by Rick Gines.
Moving toward brighter days, hope, help, and healing are available for those who have survived abuse. By Marissa Whittison, Church Magazines. Once I flew out of an area filled with smoke from a nearby wildfire. As the airplane took off, we broke through the ashy haze into a clear, sunny sky. I realized that the bright sun and clean air had been there all along, but my ability to enjoy them had been blocked by something out of my control. The wildfire was not my fault, but it had still affected my life. Abuse is like that. Those who experience abuse are never to blame. They must still deal with the aftermath. Abuse can cloud our sense of self-worth and make it hard to feel God's love. It may take a while for survivors to break through the cloud of Satan's lies, to reconnect with eternal truths. But hope, help, and healing are available every step of the way. One story. Stacy's dad was abusive. He told her she wouldn't be good at anything when she grew up. He made her feel worthless When Stacy moved away for college, she was able to think more clearly. She started going to church again and felt God's love for her and her family. Over time, she found increasing peace in the gospel and her relationship with the Savior. An estimated 1 billion children worldwide will experience some sort of abuse this year. Maybe you or others you know are going through an experience like Stacy's. The following resources can help if you're experiencing abuse. If you are being hurt, please tell someone about what is happening to you. Know that God loves you, and the righteous family members, friends, and church members in your life do too. They'll stand by you and help you get through this. And please remember, the abuse was not, is not, and never will be your fault. You are not the one who needs to repent. You are not responsible. Dr. Sheldon Martin, a therapist with the Church's Family Services, says it can be helpful for survivors to focus on eternal truths of their past, present, and future. Past. More people than you know care about you, Dr. Martin says, pointing out that you are first and foremost a child of heavenly parents. Your eternal family stretches far beyond your earthly relationships. And in addition to the strength and comfort from Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost, you have loving ancestors on the other side of the veil who care about you and may minister to you. Present. It's okay to love your current self, Dr. Martin says, no matter where you're at in the healing process. It's normal to feel angry, broken, or confused. Be patient with yourself. Future. Things will get better, Dr. Martin says. I know this because I know the Savior. He cares about you. Do what you can to stay close to Him. As you do so, you will become able to distance yourself from toxic relationships and increasingly able to feel His peace and love. If you think a friend is experiencing abuse, ask them directly, "Is someone hurting you?" Listen carefully to what they say. Show them kindness and compassion. Tell someone who can help, like a teacher, parent, school counselor, or church leader. Continue being their friend. Treat them normally. Help them make other healthy friendships. Keep moving forward. Today, Stacy is a successful professional with a loving family of her own. Some days are still hard, but she feels a lot of happiness and forgiveness of others. "I know that Jesus Christ can heal all our wounds," Stacy says. If there's one thing she would share with other survivors, it's to stay hopeful. "There is always hope in Christ," she says, "even in the middle of trials that seem like they will never end. No matter what challenges you are going through, keep moving forward. Fill your life with goodness and faith in whatever ways you can. Brighter days are ahead of you." Abuse.churchofjesuschrist.org has help for survivors, friends, and family members. Read by Emily Flegel-Gubler.
More Like Christ. One part of the Children and Youth Program is to strive to become more like Christ by growing spiritually, socially, physically, and intellectually. See Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Believe it or not, working on goals doesn't have to be nearly as hard as you think. Check out how youth around the world are growing to be more like Christ.
Spiritual. Name, Catalina. Location, Chile. Goal, read the scriptures and pray every day. I try to stay close to the Spirit by praying. I pray each night before going to bed and then read my scriptures. I'm working hard to understand them better. When I read and pray every single day, I feel peace and closer to God.
Social. Name, Raisa. Location, Samoa. Goal, get to know the young woman in her class better. I may have known every young woman's name in my ward, but I did not know who they were or what they liked. I started one by one with each young woman, and for an introvert like me, I enjoyed how I found so many things we have in common. The more time I took to get to know them, the more I saw these beautiful young women the way Heavenly Father sees them.
Intellectual. Name, Jackson. Location, South Carolina, USA. Goal: long term, own a food truck someday. Short term, learn about making food. I told one of my young men leaders about a goal I had, to have a food truck. He said, "Every year, I do a back-to-school party. Why don't you come cook for us?" So I did. I made about 50 hot dogs and burgers in 45 minutes. I loved being with the guys in my quorum, and I got awesome feedback from the experience and some compliments, and I learned a lot.
Physical. Name, Eugene. Location, Kenya. Goal, improve at football, soccer. He says, "I started practicing with a team of friends last month. The experience has helped me understand that God doesn't want us to do this alone. We can have our friends join us in our goals to be like the Savior. He knows that we need each other to succeed. If we pray, He will put people in our lives to help us be our very best." What are you doing to become more like Christ? Have you worked on any fun or meaningful goals? Email ftsoy@churchofjesuschrist.org for a chance to be featured in an upcoming issue.
Faith in Darkness by Jan E. Newman, second counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency. Here are a few suggestions that have helped me with questions and doubts. When I was a young boy, my family would often visit Great Basin National Park in Nevada, USA. One remarkable thing in the park is Lehman Caves. A tour guide leads you deep into the cave and, at a certain point, turns out all the lights. You experience total darkness. It is a heavy feeling, and the thought of finding your way out of the cave without any light is overwhelming. Thankfully, the guide always turns the light back on and leads you out safely. Sometimes we are faced with questions and even doubts about the church and our testimonies. It can feel heavy and uncertain, like being in the dark cave. It is okay to have questions and concerns. The thing that will make the biggest difference is how you approach them. Here are a few suggestions that have helped me. Exercise faith. I have found that if I approach questions and concerns from a position of faith, I can always find a way forward. Faith is not to have a perfect knowledge of things, Alma, chapter 32, verse 21. And if you can no more than desire to believe, let this desire work in you, Alma, chapter 32, verse 27. The world will tell you that if you can't prove something by a scientific standard, it can't be true. This is not the Lord's way. As the Savior told Thomas, who would not believe unless he had felt the resurrected Savior's wounds for himself, "Be not faithless, but believing." John chapter 20, verse 27. Ask, seek, knock. The phrase "ask, seek, knock" is repeated in the Scriptures. See Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Doctrine and Covenants, section 88, verse 63. The Lord's way of helping us with our questions is for us to ask Him questions. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God." James chapter 1, verse 5. Go directly to the source of all truth. God loves you and will assist you. Be a truth seeker. I have found that those who are honestly and humbly seeking truth will often find answers to their questions eventually. On the other hand, those who are just looking to find fault will only move further and further away from the truth. Be a truth seeker. Truth does exist, and you can find it. Make a to-be-answered-later box. So what do you do if you have humbly and sincerely sought answers, and they just don't seem to come? Again, I choose to approach it with faith. I have created a little box on a shelf in my mind, like a beautiful treasure chest. Written on it are the words, "to be answered at a later date." Whenever I have a question or a concern I can't resolve, I write it on an imaginary piece of paper, fold it neatly, and put it in the box. Then I put it back on the shelf. By doing so, I am acting in faith that one day, the Lord will answer it. Maybe He will, maybe He won't.
That is up to him in his infinite wisdom. By the way, some of my questions have been answered, but many are still in the box, and I'm okay with that. My dear friends in Christ, be truth seekers. As your faith increases, the Lord will be with you, and as you approach him in faith, he will reveal to you the things you need to know at the right time. Read by Jeff Hawkins.
Our Promise to Be a Light by Eric B. Murdoch, Church Magazines. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Let's do all we can to share his light. Crowds of people came from all over to see the man in the wilderness who wore clothes made of camel's hair and ate locusts and honey. They were interested to hear his teachings about the Savior, repentance, and baptism. After hearing him, many people wanted to be baptized. He baptized those who had repented. This man's name was John the Baptist. One day, as John baptized people in the Jordan River, Jesus Christ came and asked to be baptized. John was surprised. He knew that Jesus always obeyed God's commandments and did not need to repent. In fact, he thought that Jesus should baptize him. Jesus explained that God had commanded all people to be baptized, so he too needed to be baptized to set an example. John agreed and baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. The baptism of Jesus teaches us that we, too, must be baptized. When you were baptized, you made a covenant and showed your willingness to follow the Savior's example, not just at your baptism, but always. Promises and opportunities. At baptism, you make a covenant with God and promise to take upon yourself the name of Jesus Christ. See Mosiah 5, verses 8 through 10. You also promise to keep his commandments, stand as a witness of God at all times and in all things and in all places, Mosiah 18, 9, and serve him, Mosiah 18, verses 8 through 10, and DNC 20, verse 37. Each week at church, you renew this covenant when you take the sacrament. You then press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. 2 Nephi 31, verse 20. Along the way, you'll have many opportunities to follow the Savior's example and to show your love for him and for those around you. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles has said, "We have neighbors to bless, children to protect, the poor to lift up, and the truth to defend. We have wrongs to make right, truths to share, and good to do. In short, we have a life of devoted discipleship to give. A light to those in need. Our perfect example, the Savior, always loved and served others and went about doing good." Acts 10, verse 38. In difficult times, Jesus Christ is the light that shineth in darkness. He has also taught us to be a light. He said, "Behold, I am the light, which ye shall hold up, that which ye have seen me do." 3 Nephi 18:24. As part of your baptismal covenant, you promise to be willing to bear one another's burdens, that they may be light, and to mourn with those that mourn, and comfort those that stand in need of comfort. Mosiah 18, verses 8 and 9. When you come across someone who's feeling sad or discouraged, it may be obvious how to help. There are other times, however, when you won't know what to say or do. In those moments, you can still open your heart. You can listen to them and support them. As you love and serve others, the Savior's light grows brighter within you and will illuminate the way before you. It will also attract others who are seeking the Savior's light. By pressing forward and keeping the promises you made at baptism, you will find many ways that you can make this world better and brighter. End of the article, Our Promise to Be a Light. Read by Scott Christopher.
The Ultimate Miracle There Is One Miracle That Is More Important Than Them All by Jessica Zoe Strong, Church Magazines. With God, all things are possible. See Luke chapter 1, verse 37, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. But can you pray for literally anything and have it come true? Why do some people experience miracles while it seems like others don't? And what does all of this really mean for you? Three ancient miracles, three modern miracles, and one ultimate miracle teach us a little more. Modern miracle. Two missionaries serving in Mexico crossed a busy street every day. Sometimes they would wait 10 minutes before they had the chance to cross, and they usually had to run. Then they met a very old, very slow, less active member. She wanted to come to church with them, but here comes the impossible part. She would have to cross the busy street. And no, the missionaries couldn't carry her across, though they definitely thought about it. But then they had a miracle. When we got to the streets, one of the missionaries says, there were no cars coming. We were able to walk very slowly and safely across. Impossible? Think again. First ancient miracle. Ancient miracle. Mary was probably more than a little surprised when the angel Gabriel told her she'd be the mother of the Savior. It shouldn't have been possible. But the angel Gabriel explained that Jesus would be the Son of God and said, with God, nothing shall be impossible. See Luke chapter 1, verse 37. And the angel was right. Mary did give birth to the Savior of the world. With God, all things are possible, even impossible things. Miracles come through faith in Jesus Christ. Second ancient miracle. There was a man who was taken with a palsy or paralyzed. He believed the Savior could heal him, but Jesus was surrounded by tons of people and it was hard to get to him. So what did the man do? His friends lowered him on his bed through the roof of a house to reach the Savior. No, that probably wasn't very easy, but he and his friends must have had a lot of faith. And it paid off. Jesus forgave the man's sins and healed him. See Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 26. Third ancient miracle. Elizabeth and Zacharias were married many years but didn't have any children. Sometimes it might have felt like their faithful prayers weren't being answered. And eventually, they got too old to have kids. But then an angel appeared to Zacharias and told him Elizabeth was going to have a baby. Fun fact, the baby eventually became John the Baptist. In the end, the impossible did become possible, but Elizabeth and Zacharias had to wait a very, very long time. See Luke chapter 1. Miracles come according to God's will. Modern miracle. Ella W. was playing with her friends in the park when some of her friends lost their pet chameleon. This might not sound like that big of a deal, but remember, chameleons change color to blend in with their surroundings. After searching for a while, Ella decided it was time to pray in faith. They were soon able to find the chameleon in a tree. Once it was in someone's arms, we said a thank you prayer to Heavenly Father, Ella says. The impossible is always possible to God. But we need to have faith in the Savior, or at least a desire to believe and to act on that faith for miracles to happen. Modern miracle. Lindsay M. suffered from epilepsy. Every morning I would beg my Heavenly Father to take the seizures away, Lindsay says. But they didn't go away. While Lindsay waited to be healed, she received priesthood blessings, which brought her peace. And that peace was a miracle itself. When we turn to our Heavenly Father, He will undoubtedly be there for us, spreading miracles and offering comfort, she says. Lindsay eventually received a surgery that helped with her seizures. God can do all things. You may have great faith, but miracles come according to Heavenly Father's timing and will, and in His way. Look for other miracles along the way, like peace and the strength to endure. The ultimate miracle. We've talked a lot about miracles, but there is one miracle that is bigger and more important than them all. That miracle was when God's Son came to earth and was born as a baby, who later taught and healed and then gave his own life. Jesus Christ suffered and died for our sins, sorrows, and infirmities. His miracle includes 3 days in a tomb and then a resurrection that brought about life after death for all of us. That miracle changes everything. It's easy to get caught up trying to have faith in a specific miracle, and that can be hard when we don't know Heavenly Father's will. So instead of focusing your faith on your miracle going how you want, focus it on the miracle of the Savior's atonement. Have faith that nothing is impossible for God, including what you're praying for. But also have faith that His will is better than your own. If your prayers aren't answered in the way you hope, He will strengthen you and help you endure. The ultimate takeaway: as you focus your faith on Jesus Christ, you will understand what it means that all things are possible with God. You will believe that Heavenly Father can answer your prayers, and you will trust His will and receive His peace when things don't go as planned. So put your faith in Jesus Christ. He is the miracle, and all things are possible with Him. Read by Amanda Saria.
Being a Peacemaker, Your New Superpower, by David Dixon, illustrations by Lance Fry. 3 siblings are in the middle of an argument about who gets to sit in which seat in the car.
It's your turn to sit in the middle.
No, it's yours.
Mario says, I'll sit there, no biggie. After that, the 3 siblings happily enjoy the ride together. Later on at home, another fight breaks out over kitchen chores.
Dad, she left the sink a mess on my kitchen chore day.
Mario says, hey, I can help. Sunday morning, Dad is stressed.
Why is it always so hard to get to church on time?
Next Sunday, Mario says, we decided to get up a half hour earlier this week. Be a peacemaker. We should be personal peacemakers. We should live peacefully as couples, families, and neighbors. President Russell M. Nelson.
Gospel Gifts in Guam, by Jessica Brousseau, Church Magazines. On an island of the sea, Francesca finds friendship and comfort through the gospel. With its beaches, calm waters, and ancient caves, the island of Guam sounds like a dream vacation. But it's a normal day in the life of 15-year-old Francesca N. She loves the beautiful beaches.
It's fun to go out and explore nature.
Born and raised in Guam, she loves doing things outside.
I'm an outdoorsy sort of person, so I really don't like staying indoors.
She loves paddleboarding on the ocean, snorkeling, and hiking with her parents and 2 sisters. They especially love to hike at a place with ancient caves.
I'm really close to my sisters. They're my best friends.
Her older sister is attending school in Hawaii.
Social media is a huge factor in helping us to communicate.
She likes to stay close and connected. An example to others. Francesca is a sophomore at an all-girls Catholic school where she is the only member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Being the only church member at her school was a bit intimidating at first, but she's used to being seen differently. Plus, others around her think it's kind of cool that she's part of a different religion. For example, her friends were drinking coffee at lunch one day, and Francesca was able to explain the word of wisdom to them. Francesca also chooses not to swear, even though other people at school do. She says,
I was tempted many times before, but something that keeps me strong is my personal relationship with Heavenly Father through prayer.
She adds,
I shouldn't be doing these things because it's wrong and because I love Heavenly Father in Jesus Christ.
Finding friends. Sometimes it can be lonely being the only church member at her school. When she was a freshman, Francesca felt very alone during the pandemic and didn't have many friends. She was nervous to talk to her parents about it, but when she prayed, she felt prompted to tell them how she was feeling. As a family, they decided to pray for her to be able to find friends she could count on. Miraculously, as soon as they finished their prayer, they heard a knock on their door. It turned out to be one of her friends from a different ward, and she brought cookies. Francesca knew that Heavenly Father had heard their prayer. Francesca's stake includes members from Guam and several other islands. Her ward has only a small youth group, but her ward is like a family. The members are close, and this encourages her to go to church each Sunday. They are big influences and role models in her life. Francesca has also found strength in her seminary class.
Seminary is one of the highlights of my week. When I attend seminary, it feels like all my worries are gone.
She loves attending seminary, whether online or in person, and never misses a class unless she has to. She says her weeks go much better because she chooses to be in seminary. If she's had a stressful week, she makes sure to go to seminary because she feels peace there. The youth also have activities about 2 to 3 times a month. Francesca even planned one of them, a game night with lots of fun board games and a scripture game. They haven't been able to meet much during the pandemic, so when they do get to meet, they have a great time. The young women even made a music video of themselves lip-syncing to the church youth song, Good Day, and posted it to share love and to lift others.
Social media can really bring everyone together, especially during times when we can't really see everyone.
Looking forward to a temple. In the October 2018 General Conference, the Yiko Guam Temple was announced. Francesca says,
"The youth were so excited. We all prayed for it."
After that, she eagerly watched the construction and waited for their very own temple, which was completed in May 2022. They've always had to travel to the Philippines for temple trips in the past. To pay for the trips, they would raise money with bake sales and car washes. Because it's a big trip, they would plan it to last about a week. Francesca is excited to be able to go to the temple more often and have the blessings that come from being baptized for her ancestors. Comfort through prayer. Francesca says that she tends to worry a lot, but prayer has helped her.
Prayer is really powerful. Just talking to Heavenly Father really comforts me. He listens and can help. When I pray, the answer doesn't always just come to me just like that. It's just the feeling of guidance that helps me, that feeling of His presence and His love. It comforts me and makes me feel so much better.
Her advice to other youth is,
pray to Heavenly Father. Talk to Him. That helps a lot.
She says her mom is also a warrior, but is also a big support.
My mother is a blessing from Heavenly Father, and she has guided me a lot. Family is a big blessing. I think opening up to your family or a friend if you're going through something is important.
Francesca wants everyone to see the Lord's everyday blessings.
Daily blessings can be so simple. Going to school is a huge blessing. There are so many cool miracles if we take the time to notice them. I'm so grateful to have the gospel in my life.
My favorite place to ponder. Do you have a favorite spot where you like to ponder? When you ponder, you gain a more eternal perspective. It can also help you to improve your mental health by clearing your head from the confusion and stress that comes from the temptations and distractions of day-to-day life. Some people even have a special place where they like to ponder. Check out some of these ponder spots shared by other youth.
Find time alone. The best place to ponder for me is when I'm alone. I ponder all the time, in the shower or in a quiet place like at home during my scripture study. I go on bike rides, and I sometimes listen to a Come Follow Me podcast. I give myself time alone to sit in beautiful nature and ponder there as well. Grant R., age 14, from Texas, USA.
Ponder. Pondering means opening your mind and heart to the promptings of the Holy Ghost as you're studying and thinking about the gospel. Truly pondering, which can take place anywhere, requires that you put in some spiritual work as you seek revelation.
Out on the water. My favorite spot to ponder is on any body of water, like a lake or the ocean. In this photo, I was on my grandpa's boat. I love to be there because I feel close to the Spirit, especially at sunrise or sunset. I tend to receive inspiration and come up with all my best ideas there. Macy M., 16, Texas, USA.
Share your favorites. We have more My Favorites articles coming in the future. Respond with a few sentences and a picture to the following prompts. What is your favorite family meal? What is your favorite advice you've ever received? Send your photo and response to ftsoy@churchofjesuschrist.org for a chance to share your story in our magazine.
Built on solid ground. I watched, confused, as my family and I watered the concrete foundation of our house. I felt ridiculous. Who has ever heard of watering a house? When we moved to Texas, USA, our neighbor explained that in that particular area, we needed to water our house's foundation so that the weather wouldn't cause the house to settle and crack. So I watered the house, even though I felt crazy doing it. The watering helped for a time, but eventually our house started to crack. We soon discovered that our house wasn't built on solid ground. It had been built on a landfill, which caused our house to sink as buried trash below decomposed over time. We watered the foundation, but our house would still crack, so we eventually moved away. This experience reminds me of the importance of building my spiritual foundation on the solid ground of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There have been times when I didn't feel a strong enough conviction about the gospel. By choosing to believe, I watered the foundation of my faith until I could build a testimony on the solid ground of the gospel. As I have chosen to live the gospel of Jesus Christ, I have built a strong foundation that won't crack. Ann J., Maryland, USA. Read by Margo Patello.
Finding joy in musical service. I started taking piano lessons when I was 7 years old. At first, it was hard to read the music notes and pay attention during my lessons. I just didn't like to practice the piano. Then, my mom asked me to play When I Am Baptized, Children's Songbook, page 103, at my baptism. It was the first time I ever played in church. I was nervous, but proud of myself when I did it. Soon, I got busy with school and wanted to quit piano, but my parents encouraged me to continue learning. They said that if I keep playing, I could find joy in serving the Lord. From then on, I loved playing the piano. I started playing in sacrament meeting, and when I turned 12, I was officially called to be the ward pianist. I was so happy. I played in primary presentations and accompanied our ward choir during ward conferences and devotionals. I was even called as the stake choir pianist and played during state conference. I'm grateful to my parents for encouraging me to do my best. I will be forever grateful to Heavenly Father for the talent He has given me. I know I'll be able to use my talents on my mission and in other service someday. I truly find joy in serving the Lord. Giles S., from National Capital Region in the Philippines. Read by Enzo Patello.
The Tea Challenge. One winter day, I was walking the school grounds with my friends Alice and Trevor when we came across a sign that read, "Cups of tea now available." Excitedly, Trevor offered to buy us each a cup of tea. "No, thank you," I said. Trevor offered me tea each day, and I continued to decline. Finally, he asked me why I wouldn't drink the tea. I told him about the word of wisdom, hoping that he would understand. But he just turned it into a big joke. He tried to get me to break the word of wisdom. "It's not like you're taking drugs," he said. "A cup of tea is harmless." The next week, he and his friends started teasing me even worse. I tried to hold my head high, though it wasn't easy. Over time, they felt bad for their actions and stopped teasing me. One day, my teacher told me, "You have always been an example of your faith and religion. I am proud of you." I am proud of myself, too. It isn't always easy, but I know I'll be blessed for standing up for my standards. Nicolay M., West Midlands, United Kingdom. Read by Crystal Johnson.
Questions and answers. Note: responses are intended for help and perspective, not as pronouncements of church doctrine. Question: sometimes I feel that my parents are overly critical of me. How can I respond respectfully?
Honesty Hills, Good, honest conversations can resolve all kind of conflicts. Sit down with your parents and talk to them. Tell them what hurts you, and listen to what makes them sad or disappointed. Spend more time together and cultivate love and peace within your relationship and home. When you are angry, ask Heavenly Father to calm your heart. Rafaela P., 17, Sao Paulo, Brazil. Spend time together. Your parents offer advice and correction because they love you and want to help you succeed. When that correction feels unfair, take time to discuss it one-on-one with your parents at a time when you both feel calm. You can find a time when you are both doing something that you like to do together, like cooking or exercising. This helps to invite the spirit into the conversation. Rebecca M., age 17, Maryland, USA. Remember, they love you. If you remember that your parents correct you and counsel with you because they love you, it is a lot easier to accept their correction. Saying a quick little prayer to ask for the spirit to help you to stay respectful and humble will help you to better communicate with them. Lauren M., 16, Texas, USA. They see your potential. God expects the best of us and can see our true potential. This is why He requires so much of us. Your parents also see your potential and want the best for you and for you to succeed. They may not be perfect in encouraging your progression, and you aren't perfect in achieving it. Have an honest, loving conversation with your parents, and the Spirit will guide you to find understanding. Brooke T., age 18, Arizona, USA. Tell them you love them. You can respond respectfully, even if it's hard. Tell your parents you love them and you care about them, and that you know they love you. Let them know what they say hurts your emotional, spiritual, and mental state. Pray frequently. Heavenly Father will surely help you. Welly S., 13, Luanda, Angola.
Sidebar. Inviting the Lord to be part of our family council through prayer will improve our relationships with each other. We can, with Heavenly Father and our Savior's help, become more patient, thoughtful, helpful, forgiving, and understanding as we pray for help. President M. Russell Ballard, Acting President of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, April 2016, General Conference, Ensign or Liahona, May 2016, page 65.
Who were the wise men? The scriptures tell us that wise men came from the east, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, to seek the Savior. The term wise men comes from a Persian word, magi. Though we aren't told exactly who these men were, there are a few things we can say we know about them from what we are told. People have traditionally thought there were three wise men because they brought three gifts. But it's unclear from the scriptures how many wise men there actually were. We also understand that they visited Jesus as a young child rather than as a baby. The wise men clearly were righteous and knew some prophecies about the Messiah's birth. They may have been from a branch of the Lord's people. They diligently sought the Son of God and were led to Him by the Spirit. They brought Him gifts and then returned to bear witness of His birth to their people. They were also warned in a dream not to tell Herod where the child was. Their faithfulness and diligence can be an inspiring example to us in our personal journeys to draw closer to the Savior. See Bible Dictionary, Magi. What do you think? I need advice helping plan youth activities. What are some good ideas? Send your answer and photo by February 15th, 2023. Read by Wes Nelson.
Places from the Scriptures. The Jordan River. What happened here, and what can we learn from it? Where is it? Its source is at Mount Hermon in the north. It flows south into the Sea of Galilee and out again. It ends by flowing into the Dead Sea. For most of its length, it is below sea level. It is the most important river in this region. What happened here? Joshua led the children of Israel across the Jordan River on dry ground to enter the Promised Land. Jesus Christ was baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. Did you know the name Jesus is the Greek form of the name Joshua? and events at the Jordan River are a connection between Jesus Christ and the Old Testament prophet Joshua. Joshua came after Moses. Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law of Moses. Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land. Jesus Christ showed us the way to enter the celestial kingdom. Joshua crossed the Jordan River on dry ground. Jesus Christ went into the Jordan River and was baptized. Joshua had priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant step into the river to part the waters. Jesus Christ was baptized by John the Baptist, who had priesthood authority. This showed us the first step to entering covenants with God. End of the article, The Jordan River, read by Van Farnworth.